right. Hey, we are here in Belfast with Teresa Payton. How are you, Teresa?
Doing great.
Good. You are were the former, is that redundant, were former? Who cares? The former White House CIO. That's a pretty cool gig.
It's an amazing gig, quite an honor. It is a tough job, though.
Even better for the credit union fans out there, you are not only a credit union member of one credit union, but two. Nice.
Yeah, two credit unions, Marine Federal and Navy Federal. Proud member of both.
My brother-in-law, Navy Federal. All right. We're all in this together,
That's
hear.
That's right, exactly.
Hey, for those folks out who didn't make it out here to Northern Ireland to watch your keynote, can you give a quick summary of what you talked about?
Sure. So the first thing I did was I made sure to completely depress the entire room to talk about all the threats targeting credit unions and credit union members, but then took them sort of from the precipice to there's actually hope. And it doesn't always require spending your members' money on cybersecurity. Sometimes it's just doing things differently, thinking differently, getting focused. And then when it is time to spend money, you're spending it on the security strategies that matter the most.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple things you said in there were data breach is inevitable, which was a scary thing to say, but it is. And so can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, one of the challenges today, a lot of people think that if I do everything right, something bad shouldn't happen to me. When I talk to CEOs after a breach, that's usually one of the first things they say, like, Teresa, how could this happen? I've got good people. We did everything right. And when you experience a data breach, understand the first thing is you're a victim of a crime. You didn't do anything wrong. And even when you do everything right, you're still going to be a victim of a crime. The second piece people don't realize is the technology today by design is an open design, which means it's open to hacking, which means that breach is inevitable. But how we respond as victims is not. And that's where proactive strategies, planning, thinking through this, thinking about, well, if a breach happens, have I hidden things away? So I make it hard for the bad guys to actually get what's really matters the most to me.
Okay, let's back up a little bit here, because one of the scariest things you said in there is when there's a software upgrade and you think, hey, all right, a new software upgrade, we're okay. That's the general consensus out there. But you said in there every 90 seconds, can you expand on your 90 seconds statement?
I gave everybody a phrase to use at cocktail parties. It'll make you incredibly popular. So every 90 seconds, a new deviant of malware is found in the wild. And what that means is the bad guys figure out that they're getting blocked by the antivirus and anti-malware software that you've invested in. They take it away, they tweak it, get past the defenses, and every 90 seconds, a new version or new deviant of that malware is released.
See, that goes against my train of thought. I'm sure a lot of other people, because when you get this new piece of antivirus software, you're like, yeah, we're good. But in fact, it's open and it's scary. It makes me want to just stay in bed all day.
Yeah, and it's tough because you've got employees who are multitasking, they're clicking on links, they're opening attachments, and they think they're protected, and they don't realize that oftentimes they're the reason why bad guys got a little corner into the network and were able to get in.
So what are a couple of trends out there? You mentioned spear phishing, ransomware, which is a new one out there. What else is out there that we should know of?
Ransomware, what's interesting is we know that it's on the rise. Mm-hmm. We also know that it's underreported. So it's a very frightening, you don't have to report ransomware.
Why would you not?
Because if you get your files back and the files aren't leaked on the internet, it's not a reportable event. So oftentimes, ransomware goes unreported because companies don't have to, don't want to, they're embarrassed by it. Yeah. They may not call law enforcement because they don't want to bother law enforcement. Mm-hmm. They pay the ransom and they move on. So even though you're hearing that it's taking off, just understand that's actually an underreported number. And what's challenging for me is when I look at it, it's not that the ransomware writers are getting that much better at it. It's not very sophisticated. Mm-hmm. It's just they're getting away with it.
Right.
So again, those proactive strategies of if we were hit by ransomware tomorrow, could we actually ignore the ransom and just recover? How would that work? How would we do it? Yeah. Could we do it? What would the outage time be? All of those things need to be thought in advance. Okay. Another thing that's on the rise, and I hope it doesn't happen to any credit unions, is also extortionware. So they go in, they lock your files, but before they lock your files, they actually take your board and your executives' emails mm-hmm. and threaten to dump them on the internet if you don't pay within a certain time. So extortionware is starting to, extortionware is starting to take off. Again, it's not a reportable event mm-hmm. if they don't dump the data. Mm-hmm. So it's underreported right now. One of the other comebacks we're seeing is distributed denial of service attacks mm-hmm. are kind of all the rage again in the dark web. And so you want to make sure you've got really good strategies for your website to really battle those DDoS attacks.
Okay, Teresa, my head is just spinning. It's like I'm thinking to myself, okay, how have things changed since you were CIO at the White House to now? I mean, it must be a totally different world out there now.
It is and it isn't. That's okay. The interesting thing. So here, the reason why security professionals will never work themselves out of a job is technology doesn't stand still. New technology comes out, that's mm-hmm. a new point of presence. It's mm-hmm. also a new potential vulnerability, and it has to be mitigated. So a lot has changed from the standpoint of technology, but at the core of cybersecurity are humans. You have humans on the security team who make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You have humans who work for you that make mistakes. Your members make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so even though the technology changes, the threats and vulnerabilities change, the human part of the equation, which tends to be the weakest link of the chain, that hasn't changed. And the more we can do to not expect everybody to be a security person, because mm-hmm. that's what you pay us to do, but the more we can make people aware that nobody ever got fired for pausing and saying, wait a minute, I need to trust but verify, picking up the phone, mm-hmm. hearing that voice and saying, okay, I just verified that transaction. Mm-hmm. Getting people comfortable with a culture that it's okay to slow down because you could be letting the bad guys in. Okay. So if you can find that right balance, I know it's all about speed and efficiency, but if you can build in a culture where you say to people, look, if you have a question, you're never bothering anybody to stop, mm-hmm. pause, mm-hmm. and ask the question before you click on that link or open the attachment.
Yeah, weren't some of these, or a majority of the major data breaches, human error, like opening an email attachment type of thing, and then all of a sudden it's chaos?
Yeah, they play upon our need to be, the fact that we're all busy and multitasking. They also prey upon our desire to be very productivity aware, very mm-hmm. efficient. Mm-hmm. Another thing that your members are going to be seeing, especially if you have members who own businesses, CEO wire fraud. It breaks my heart. What I'm seeing happening is they're figuring out the CFO or the bookkeeper's email address, mm-hmm. the CEO's email address. They mm-hmm. spoof the two accounts. Yeah. The CFO gets a legitimate looking wire transfer request from the CEO and moves the money. It breaks my heart. So what I've been encouraging businesses to do, and this can be something credit unions mm-hmm. can educate their members on, is to have a different set of protocols for money movement. So a new set of emails that you don't use for anything else but money movement.
Okay. Oh, good idea.
And then have a text code that the two of you text each other after the email. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that creates a trust but verify. You notice nothing I said costs money.
Right. All free.
It's all free, mm-hmm. but you have to think about those protocols in advance, mm-hmm. and it's going to be harder. Is that hackable? Sure, but it's going to be harder for the bad guy to know that's your protocol for moving mm-hmm. money.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Let's move to a happier topic.
Happy's good.
Yes. I think inquiring minds want to know, what was it like being CIO? I'm sure you get this question on a minute-by-minute basis, but what was it like to be CIO at the White House, kind of the behind-the-scenes type of thing?
Yeah, it was an incredible honor. And, funny enough, I worked in the financial services industry for 16 years. Mm-hmm. And when I went through the interview process, because they called me out of the blue, I almost didn't return the call because I thought I was being socially engineered. One of those, I'm like, why is the White House calling me? Am I in trouble? So I returned the call, thankfully. And what's interesting is I said, why would I be qualified to do this job? I know banking. I don't know politics. Yeah. And they said, you deal with cybercrime, you are in a heavily regulated environment, you understand 24/7 operations, you understand customer service, customer is king, you work in a global environment. Sounds like what we need. So it was really interesting to see my financial services industry training really come to bear at the White House. Now, certainly there was a lot I still had to learn.
Right.
And went through the process of getting my clearance and things like mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. But incredible honor. Yeah. incredible growth experience, both personally and professionally, and you know, something that's really shaped what I'm passionate about now. I was always passionate about fighting cybercrime and enabling customers to have easier access to money while fighting fraudsters. But after really seeing what our country and our allies are up against around the globe and fighting terrorism and fighting cybercrime, I made it my mission that however days I have left on this earth, I'm going to be fighting cyber criminals from behind a keyboard, and I'm going to be helping companies, governments, our allies, to do the same.
Good for you. Two more questions for you. One of them is even cooler than being CIO. Why, you're the first woman to be named CIO. I mean, that's really, how does that feel?
Yeah, it's at one point it's kind of like, you know, you're stepping into new territory and you don't want to let people down. Right. And then in other points it's like, hey, you just got to get to work and do your job kind of thing. But it was interesting because it not only was I the first woman CIO, but there were a lot of people who actually had not worked for a woman before.
Okay.
And that's nothing against them. Right. It's really saying back to the industry, we've got to do a better job in recruiting more people in general. We need everybody we can get, candidly, in technology and especially in cybersecurity. But I think what we've done a poor job at on the security side is really help women a lot of times. They did this study with the Girl Scouts and they asked the girls why they chose their professions, and at the bottom of it was wanting to help people. And I don't think we've done a good job helping people understand security. You are helping people. I mean, you might be working with a router, and you might be tuning the router, but at the end of the day, the rules that you tuned on that router might keep the bad guys from getting in. And so at the end of the day, you are helping people. And I don't think we've done enough to really help people understand sort of that human side and this greater good that we're all working towards.
Yeah, because people's lives are obviously ruined, you know, and they're just and it takes forever to get it back. So what you guys are doing, whether you're a man or a woman, kudos to you guys. I mean, because this stuff is way over my head and most people's head. So just a wonderful job all the way around for any type IT person out there.
Yeah, anybody, and especially if you're dedicating your life to cybersecurity.
Yeah,
It's a growing field, a changing field, and we need everybody we can get.
All right, last question for you. Where can we find out more about you, your company, and your books as well?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Sure, so a couple of things. I have two books, Privacy and the Age of Big Data. And actually, if you go on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, he and I had a chat about that book. You can buy it on Amazon, paperback, ebook. Okay. I have my first book, Privacy, Protecting Your Internet Identity, Are You Naked Online? The answer is yes. That book is being currently updated, so we'll have a brand new second edition coming out in the fall that will also be available online. We actually have a blog where we write tips that are meant to be digested in 3 minutes or less.
I like that.
And it's at fortalistsolutions.com, and then you just do /blog to go there. So that can be a great way to get free resources and tips.
Yeah, we'll put all that in the show notes.
And then for anybody who's on social media, Fortalist has a Facebook page.
Okay.
And we're on Twitter at Fortalist LLC, and we're on Instagram, Fortalist Solutions.
You heard it. Follow, follow, follow. Get the information.
And we follow back, too.
Oh, yes. Even better. Even better. Teresa, thank you so much for taking time out. I know you're a busy, busy person, but thank you for taking time out. And good job in there on the
thank
keynote.
Thank you so much. It was really an honor and a delight today to be here with the World Council of Credit Unions. What a fabulous group. I learned so much just from the questions people asked me.
It's a good group of people.
It's a good group. Really good day today.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's end it there.
All right.
Great message to end on.
So much.
Thanks, Teresa.
Bye.